Lesson 1, Segment 6, Envision and its Roots in Active Imagination. In this segment, you'll learn why coaching with Envision isn't therapy, but has therapeutic value. Carl Jung's influence on Envision. How active imagination works as the chief operating engine for the Envision process. We'll explore the unconscious and the collective unconscious. The language of the unconscious is symbol and metaphor, pictures and images, rather than words. How the unconscious is engaged in Envision coaching. The use of active imagination in shamanism. How earliest cave paintings suggest this is an ancient method of understanding the meanings inherent in life. How we have everything we need to reach our desired outcome. How inner events have real effects. How the goal of Envision is the aha, or the epiphany. Envision is a method of transcending a problem or pattern rather than solving it. At this stage, I have to talk about the biggest inspiration for Envision. The way the container for Envision is filled is through something called active imagination. This was a term coined by Swiss psychiatrist and founder of analytical psychology, Carl Gustav Jung. Although there are copious amounts of information and explanation of Jung's work, Marie-Louise Franz is one author, should you choose to dive deeper into this work, I highly recommend studying. It's pretty dense, but it's worth it. So, while coaching isn't therapy, real change can be made with the Envision process by entering into the realms of the unconscious via imagination, intuition, and creativity. And Jung's influence is undeniable when applying Envision in a coach-client dialogue. For now, let's explore what exactly is active imagination, why and how it works as the chief operating engine in Envision. You ever hear the phrase, a picture speaks a thousand words? Well, this is the most important piece of coaching with Envision as we seek to move away from the part of the mind that is concentrated on logic, reason, and language. Envision as a process was created to defy language, which, although necessary for us to communicate and understand our place in the world of form, and so we understand each other, it actually serves to limit things so we can make sense of them by creating a naming. Limiting through language before exploring metaphor, allegory, and a more abstract and broader perception is like seeing only the tip of an iceberg. We know it's an iceberg because we see the top jutting out of the water, but we can't immediately know how deep it is, how large it is, its influence on the life beneath the sea, or the displacement of water. We name it an iceberg, we know it's an iceberg, but all the rest of that information is not available to us just by naming it. To make a change for a client, we look at the deeper and wider symbolic meaning, the more abstract meaning, that could give birth to an epiphany, and that's what we're looking to make space for. To do this, we go beneath the subconscious mind to the unconscious, the dreaming mind. The subconscious is the programmed automatic mind, and the other has access to meaning and the collective wisdom accumulated in the race mind. And this is the mind that delivers dreams. Active imagination is a form of inner dialogue used and developed as a way of establishing a deeper dialogue with the unconscious. Jung saw active imagination, which, by the way, he coined this term, and he's the one that first really started teaching about this. He saw it as the most direct way of relating to the unconscious in order to help people heal. But Envision gives it a sense of limitations. It's a set of limitations to contain it, so you can have a consistent and continuing dialogue with the unconscious for the purpose of coaching. This is really important and powerful and can be seen as a living relationship with this part of ourselves that's really engaged in evolving, the part of us that wants to move past the blocks, not interested in what the subconscious has to say, and really has every intention of becoming this evolved, successful, authentic expression of yourself, there is definitely that part of us that has that greater concept of evolution. And that's all in the unconscious. This dialogue between the unconscious and self-awareness remains essential to what Jung saw as the process of individuation. And that's about becoming more aware of who and what we are at many different levels. And he also saw this as about being finding a deeper connection between the ego, the small self, and the greater self, that consistent forever self that's always there. And the term self with a capital S was used by Jung to designate the transpersonal center and totality or wholeness of the human psyche. It constitutes the greater objective personality, whereas the ego describes the lesser subjective personality, that's our everyday self, the identified self. Like all other archetypes, the self with a big S is never completely knowable and can be experienced and re-experienced in differing ways over the course of an entire lifetime. In my research of active imagination and all the things that inspired Jung, we find that it has a long history in some form or another. It's probably as old as the earliest efforts of humankind to relate to forces greater than themselves. And how do we know this? Well, a form of active imagination in ancient history would be the very early representations of animals in prehistoric cave art. They were not only drawings and paintings of animals, but also of the power and magic they were felt to possess. We'll talk about this in lesson 2, but for now, just understand how old and powerful this is and how we're already connected to it, and how even if we have no clue how it works, we have access to ancient ancestral memories of this process and its effect. So if any of you are interested, many shamanic traditions use forms of active imagination to develop their own inner process or individuation. Active imagination engages deep feelings and nurtures the growth of consciousness as well as the creative awareness of all states of being, creativity, joy, anger, shame, suffering, etc. It's all about enhancing the development of the human personality and the human race. So, as a coaching tool, it serves to help develop the consciousness of understanding and success, because that's what we're doing as coaches. We want to empower the client to become the most authentic and vibrant version of themselves. Or we might be outcome driven. We might want to help the client reach a goal. And if they're bumping up against something in themselves where they can't move forward, what we're doing at this section of our coaching is taking a tool out and saying, ah, I have something in my toolkit. It's called Envision. Want to try it? And let's see if we can move around the issue. And that's, of course, what this is all about. A little bit more about active imagination. It's really been described as a waking dream or dreamlike state when we become able to observe our conscious thoughts and actions and have access to thoughts and feelings that are not usually accessible to your regular thinking state. Relating to the unconscious as it becomes expressed through active imagination is a symbolic process. We're not working factually. That's why we don't tell stories like he did this to me or she did that to me or this is what happened. We're not looking at facts or date or historic telling of evidence, but using images that represent living symbols. So a living symbol expresses a part of ourself that is not fully conscious and can often be felt rather than rationally understood. So it's what we know about ourselves that's just below the surface, that when we stare at it and try to take it apart and put it back together, it kind of runs away. But we feel or sense it when we're off or on, but we can't always language it, so we don't try. Envision allows that deeper layer of the mind to talk in pictures and images. The term symbol implies a transition to a new level of understanding or a new depth of consciousness. A symbol has the power to move and shift our consciousness because it connects us to a deeply unconscious energy field. So another way to look at it as well is symbols are autonomous products of the unconscious. And in Jung's view, real symbols are never invented or made up, nor are they only a poetic or allegorical way of representing a known fact. And if they were, the envision process wouldn't feel so powerful and personal. I mean, it really is amazing once you start actually trying it. lesson one is all about the theory and how it was inspired and what Envision is, etc., but we really get into it in lesson two. Active imagination can also be seen as a dialogue with archetypes, or, you know, that larger universal symbol of the collective unconscious. And in this context, it's always important to recognize there's a great deal that's personal and still more that's impersonal that we don't know, but which still continues to have its effect on us. And that's what we look for. That's why we sit there and go, aha, oh my God, I can't believe I'm seeing this. It's really amazing once you start doing it. And we will talk more about this in lesson two. I don't want to tease you here. Anyway, in the first step of working with active imagination, it's important to let the conscious ego or personality identified self stand aside in order to feel more free from its constraints and limitations. The observer self, which we're going to talk a lot about, just looks with neutrality without criticizing what comes up, not filtering anything out, a state that could be described as being somewhat similar to the alpha state of unfocused attention. Just when you're really attentive and present. It's really about being fully present. The first step is about noticing and becoming more aware of the activities of the mind, than just allowing ourselves to let our mind relax into a state of play. Jung writes of how the creative aspect of the imagination frees us from our knowledge of the nothing but, and raises us to the state of one who plays. We need to reach that place before active imagination can really begin. And you'll notice this class has home play, not homework. The second step moves on further to giving expression to the inner voice of the unconscious, either in writing or talking. It's always essential to give outer form to whatever comes up, otherwise it gets lost and can't be fully used. And that's why it really works in a coach-client dialogue, because you can discuss what comes up and then have the client write about it after the fact, if you can get them to. But no matter what, it's going to have such a huge impact on both of you. And when you do it for yourself, it's always important to keep a journal record. Active imagination is also defined by the relationship between ego and unconscious, and bypasses the subconscious mind, yet delivers the meaning and the patterns you're being affected by through observing the symbols that you ask for. Envision uses a specific structure to contain the images for discussion, which is why it is not exactly active imagination. It's not the therapeutic use of active imagination. We give it a structure and a form. It's not loose. It's very defined. We can identify what's happening in the subconscious automatic mind via the dreaming mind and bypass it. So once this voice of the unconscious, or the pictures of the unconscious, the language has been given form, the ego, the smaller self, can relate to it. And the ego needs to recognize that the inner event, whatever has come out of this deeper place, is just as real as any other outer event, even if it exists in a different space. Most important, inner events have real effects. Dr. Joe Dispenza, who I spoke about earlier, is right now writing a book called You Are the Placebo. We have a great video as bonus to week one to share with you that will give support to this concept. So again, I repeat, inner events have real effects. And the Envision process was created with this in mind, providing a structure and a container to allow only a specific shape to appear, therefore keeping the language of symbolism within a manageable form. So you only have so many pictures to work with. And this was the influence and connection to eco-psychology I talked about earlier. We see landscapes and places, aspects of nature that we recognize at that deeper level. It's also important to distinguish between creative visualization and active imagination. So it's not the same as guided visualization. Guided imagery or visualization offers particular images for your client and ways in which to proceed. While Envision has guided imagery as the structure, we have to give it a structure, but the glossary of possibilities come from the unconscious, and we define it and we limit it. So there's only so many that the unconscious knows it's allowed to speak through. Then the client can open up to their own images and respond to them in ways that are consistent with their own view of reality, as well as what the traditional meanings of the symbols imply. So it gets to be very deeply personal. Active imagination could also be seen to initiate a deeper and more intense process of quick psychological transformation, and can sometimes bring about a profound understanding and change for your client in one session. Epiphanies are the goal of Envision. I always say, Coaches who use Envision are epiphany midwives. In the end, it's less about the factual solving of problems than becoming able to transcend or circumvent them and find ways around them. Envision was created as a method to shift without ever dealing with them head on. We simply accept and move. Now remember, we're assuming we're working with clients as coaches who have already done some therapy or are not dealing with any pathological emotional patterns that would need a therapist. We would, of course, send them to a therapist. So that is the relationship between active imagination as the operating engine of Envision and the process itself. It's getting very exciting now.